From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. We take your gardening questions, we help you with your garden's design, your plants, your pest problems, whatever you want to talk about. This is where we can do it here, and it's all for the South, Florida, and wherever you are, whether you're in North Florida, Central Florida, Orlando, Tampa area, Daytona Beach, or even down in South Florida, good morning to Key West and Fort Lauderdale and Miami. We have a lot of wonderful listeners down there, so we appreciate everyone being here. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am good. Did you have a good week?
Yes, cannot complain at all.
Oh, that's good. I had a really, really good week. So I just love them when you have good weeks and you kind of pinch yourself and say, oh my goodness, everything went well.
I usually just pinch myself to make sure I'm still alive and that I'm not just dreaming or, you know, floating around the atmosphere somewhere.
Well, we have a great show for you today. We have some wonderful guests coming up. And I wanted to talk about, I've gotten a few questions and some from clients that are out of state and they're not used to Florida winters. And, you know, we are smack dab in a Florida winter where we have 80 degrees one day and, you know, 35, 40 degrees the next day and then freezes. And we're going to be having a freeze come this week. So we are definitely getting one towards next weekend. We have a lot of rain, and we've gotten a lot of rain. Now, that's unusual for Florida. Florida's winter is our dry time of the year, exact opposite of up north, you know, where we talk about April showers bring May flowers.
Rain?
We don't get rain in our winter and spring. We get the majority of our rainfall in the summertime and fall. You know, it's our hurricane season. And so tropical weather for us here in Florida. So we really have a dry winter where like in June or August, we'll get 7 to 8 inches of rain. And that's normal. During December and January and February, we may not even get 2 inches of rain. So even though we're getting rain, it's still not what we get during the summertime. And we're not having the warm, you know, the heat of, you know, averaging 95 degrees during the day, each day. So we don't necessarily need all that rainfall in the wintertime. So it's a good time to make sure your irrigation is working, but it's not on. And also, too, that if you have been overwatering, this is a good time of the year to go ahead and let Mother Nature, you know, apply the watering needs for your plants, your landscape, your turf, and not use your sprinkler system. And this is a great time of the year to wean your grass off of irrigation. And all year round, you know, our turf only needs about an inch to an inch and a half of water, rainfall preferably, but if not, then we can supplement with irrigation system. Only about an inch to an inch and a half. And with that, that is plenty of water. So maybe for Christmas you got a rain gauge, and that's a great way to, you know, kind of determine if you need to water if you don't have an irrigation system, or you have your rain shutoff device set for 1 inch, and that way it won't come on if we've had enough rainfall, but it will come on if we haven't. And I, one of my clients, she shut her timer, rain shutoff device off. And I said, oh, there's no need to do that because if we do have warm weather, it will kick in unless you're going to check it every day and see if you need to turn it on. And that's fine too, but it's still mandatory, the rain shutoff device. Now we've had a lot of rain. In December, we had double the amount of rain that we normally get. And that's because we have an El Nino winter, which means it's going to be a very wet winter. It's going to be warm, but that doesn't mean we're not going to have freezes. So if you haven't purchased a frost blanket for your tender tropical plants, those of you in Central Florida and up in North Florida, then a frost blanket would be a good idea to get for next week and have it on hand. And it's a great product. You lay it over your plants, You can keep it on all day long for days at a time. You never have to take it off, really, because the frost blankets allow the sunlight to come through and allow the water to come through, the rainfall or irrigation, so you don't have to take it off.
Yes.
And then after winter's over, you fold it up, you dry it off, you fold it up, and then you put it away for next year. It's a really great product.
It is very good, yes. And I'm so glad that, what was it, back in October, I think I suggested all of our listeners to get out there and go buy you some. Well, I went and I bought some fresh ones, and they're 30 feet long, and I'm going... I like running around circles around my garden, my little planter, trying to cover
it. You know, you can cut it off. You know, you
can. I'm afraid I'll break the cycle. I don't know. Something. It'll let frost in. It'll start snowing that day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we are going to get a freeze this week, so be prepared. Usually when we get a cold front and we get this rainfall, it will go down. Temperatures will go down and it will get colder. So this year we are going to see some cold temperatures. It's just not going to be for weeks on end, which is why we live in Florida. We are cold for 3 days and the sun shines the whole time, and we can just garden to our heart's delight. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Well, the new year has started, and I want to let everyone know that Peterson's Nursery has started their workshops again. And at 9:30 this morning, they're going to have their Recipe for Success with Roses workshop. It is free, and you can go down there at Peterson's Nursery. It is at 2184 East County Road, 540A, and take advantage of it. Tell Howie we and Karen we said hello, and that's great. Well, this Tina Tuttle is joining me right now. She is the president of the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs, and she has an exciting year ahead of her. So I wanted her to come on and tell us all about it and what they're celebrating. Good morning, Tina. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, good morning, Teresa, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, I tell you, you are the president of the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs. And you've had a busy week. What have you been doing?
Oh, I certainly have. Well, I went down to Winter Park. I love going down to that area. And we held our January board meeting, what we call our winter board meeting. We attended to some business of the organization and heard some reports and met in small committee meetings. And we do that in January, September, and at our annual convention in April.
Oh, wow. I know that it's a very organized organization, so I can appreciate all your meetings. And so garden clubs have been instrumental in creating American landscapes for over 130 years. What were the first garden clubs like?
Well, I can, as you can imagine, in 1924, the women didn't work particularly. They were pretty much kept women. And so some of the more affluent wives would meet together, and they would share plants, and they would, go out into the community and maybe plant something. But do you know what the first committee they formed was when they became an organization?
No.
It was the elimination of billboards along the roads.
Wow.
So we have always, we've always been environmentally aware and wanted to make Florida shine.
Oh, that's great. You know, I know that there's a lot of people that would want to jump on that committee today. And so,
yes, ma'am.
So how many garden clubs are there in Florida?
We have about 157 clubs all the way from my club meets 2 miles from Alabama up here in the Panhandle all the way down to the Keys, to Marathon Key.
Wow, that's great. Now, they're such a big asset. Like you said, they form committees to help protect the environment and do different projects. So they're always a big asset to their communities. What are some of your activities?
We have actually 6 mission points that we try to reach. One, of course, is education of our members as well as the public. We do a lot with youth. We're very concentrated on the younger people trying to grow our own. Design, floral design, which is a tremendous art form. Horticulture, and planting, the environment, of course, and working in our community. Those are the missions that we're trying to strive for.
And those are great missions. Now, 2024 is the 100th anniversary of the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs. Congratulations.
Thank you.
An accomplishment. And so as president of the FFGC is what your acronym is. What is your vision for your organization for this upcoming future?
Well, you know, we've changed a lot in 100 years. We have to. And we have a strategic planning committee that always looks to the future to see what we can do. We are always becoming more and more welcoming. There are men in our clubs now. And, of course, we have junior garden clubs for children. We have much more tech savvy now with Facebook and websites and all that jazz. And we continue to give back to our members. We hope to allow our members to take advantage of everything that's out there, regardless of their status. So we are continuing to change and morph into what the members need. And that's where we're going.
Oh, that's great, Tina. And so I was impressed with the FFGC's involvement with Florida's Arbor Day. And so you're combining it with your 100th anniversary. So what are some of your events?
Well, of course, for Arbor Day, which is next Friday, the 19th of January, we're going to have plantings throughout the state at the same time at 11 o'clock Eastern Time and 10 o'clock Central Time. And we're having more than 120 clubs go out and make a planting. The Duke Energy, I got to give a shout out to them. They gave us a grant for $20,000 to purchase the trees. And 26 of our clubs are going to be giving tree seedling giveaways from a grant of $5,000 from the National Wildlife Federation. So thanks to them as well. But as far as the 100th anniversary, we're going to have a big birthday party on the 24th of April at our headquarters in Winter Park. And, of course, our convention this year is going to be in Jacksonville, the birthplace of FFGC. And that will, of course, be a big celebration with lots of wonderful speakers and event and touring the Nina Cummer Museum, which she was our foremother. She's the one that got this started in Jacksonville.
Well, that's exciting. And so now the Orlando Garden Club has a wonderful event for the Arbor Day. It's got a big flower show coming up. Tell us about that.
Well, this is a free and open to the public standard flower show. It's going to be held on Friday from noon until 5 and on Saturday from 10 until 4 at the Orlando Garden Club building on Lock Haven,
there you go. I know it's
Lock Haven Park on Rollins Street, yes. And they have three divisions, one for horticulture called Not Easy Being Green, and they will feature both the flowering and foliage and fruited, buried, and coned arboreal branches. They will have containers of flowering and foliage plants. They will have combination plantings of dish gardens and terrariums. And then they'll have a design division called A Day in the Park, where they will feature designer's choice, which means both fresh and dried plant material. They will have trays for one, which is called a functional table. They will have miniature designs of both 5 and 3 inches. They will have a division 3 for their educational exhibits called Green Up Your World. And, of course, an exhibit on recycling, the history of the Orlando Garden Club, and bullseye, as well as creative arts. And they'll have an invitational exhibit by the Bullseye Club.
Wow, so that's going to be...
people need to come see.
It's going to be an exciting event. I can't wait to stop in and see everything and just take in all the great ideas. Plus, it will be a good time to meet some of the members of the garden clubs.
Absolutely.
And if you're interested in joining them, they would be more than happy to give you information because it's a really great opportunity. So now you deal with education and scholarship.
Yes.
So tell us about your scholarship programs.
Well, not only do we give away up to $30,000 a year to college-bound students who are majoring in environmental or botany or, you know, something horticulture-related, even photojournalism or environmental law. And we give it to them from high school. We give it to a master's program. We even give it to a doctoral program. But we also have scholarships that go to our youth camp. They're at Apopka at the Wakiwa Springs State Park. We have scholarships for our students who attend a three-day conference called Save the Earth's Environment Through Knowledge. And we also give in-house scholarships to our members so they can attend all of the educational opportunities that we provide.
That is great. I mean, I just, again, you're so active and so pro-environment, and you really give quite a big service. Now, when you were talking about education, you know, it's a big mm-hmm. benefit within your clubs, and your members get the benefit of it. What kind of programs do you have for your members?
Well, the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs is a member of the Deep South Garden Clubs and National Garden Clubs. So National Garden Club provides four educational opportunities, one in landscape design, one in gardening study, one in environmental studies, as well as flower show schools. Then the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs provides courses that are called Diggin' It, which is our horticulture course of 10 sessions, floral design study, which is a learning how to design from the basics all the way up to advanced, and that's in 9 courses. And then the fun with flowers, everybody enjoys that, and that's exactly what it says, where people can buy a bunch of flowers at the store, take them home, and then design them for their home or church.
That's great. I love that. And so, you know, if anyone's listening, we have so many new residents coming to Florida that would like to learn more about gardening, and they can do it really well at a garden club. How would somebody yep. find out what garden club is in their area?
Okay, you can go to our website, fftc.org, or to the National Garden Club website, or you can follow us on Facebook at fftcfacebook@gmail.com. Many garden clubs are listed in the phone book, but watch the paper, because when we're having a plant sale or a program or a workshop, they are open to the public and they are often advertised in your local news. So, yeah, find out about us. Ask at a nursery. Not a problem.
That's great, Tina. Thank you so much. You've had a busy week, and I certainly do appreciate you coming on so early in the morning, because you're an hour behind us up there near Lower Alabama, L.A.
Yes, it is early, and it's cold, too.
It is. It's coming this way. Thank you so much, Tina. I look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, sweetie. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's Tina Tuttle. She's the president of the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs. She's a hoot, and she's so active.
If you were never into or interested into doing horticulture or planting or doing anything, she just did it for me.
Yeah.
She's so energetic.
She is. And so that is the, if you'd like to learn more or have a really great time next weekend, that's January 19th and January 20th, the National Garden Flow Garden Club Standard Flower Show, and it's called Love Our Green Florida. So it's going to be in conjunction with Arbor Day. And this is the Orlando Garden Club, and it is at 710 East Rollins Street, Orlando, Florida, which is right behind Advent Health Hospital.
Okay.
Okay, so you'll see those buildings as you're going through on Mills, and you can just, in 1792, and that's where it is. Friday, January 19th, 2 to 5 p.m., and Saturday, January 20th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It is free. It's open to the public. If you're interested in any kind of garden activity, whether it's going into the floral design, you'd like to learn how to do that, how to arrange your flowers that you grow, or if you'd like to do bonsai or a topiary, this is going to be a great event for you. So it's free to the public, and that's always a good thing to do. Take the children and enjoy. Find out more about joining your local garden club, and you'll have a great time. The members are amazing. It's for everyone, diverse men and women. From the Summit Responsible Solutions studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, now's the time. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me this morning at 23680, like Linda and Joanne. And so give us a lot of great information. So we'd love to hear from you. And I'm drinking my cup of tea this morning. What are you drinking this morning, Lizzie?
I said I wanted to be like you when I grow up. I am drinking tea too. So there you go.
That's so funny. That's great. I love it. All right. So we want to give a big thank you to Tina Tuttle. She was the president of the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs. She was just on. It is a wonderful organization. If you're local and you want to find out more, the members are so generous with their knowledge. And we have a show coming up next weekend, January 19th, Friday. That's from 2 to 5 p.m. and Saturday, January 20th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And that is going to be at the Orlando Garden Club. Lots of great, great floral displays, topiaries, bonsais, terrariums, all kinds of really cool gardening crafts and stuff. So you will go see, and they will be professional. Wait till you see them. These are everyday gardeners, and they just blow me away with all their ideas and their displays. So you don't want to miss that. Be a great night. Take the kids on Saturday and show them what they can do in the garden. I would love for that for you to do that. And so thank you very much, Tina. Now, what I want to do is tell you what to be doing in January right now. So we have a lot of rain coming up this week throughout the state. South Florida, you're getting a lot of rain. I know that the Florida, Fort Lauderdale area, you're setting records for the amount of rainfall that we had last year, and a lot of it came during the fall. This is a great time of the year to go ahead again and wean your turf off of irrigation. And if you're going to be getting freezes, one of the benefits of wintertime is that it kills the summer weeds. And that means that they're going to die, and they're going to be dead in your yard. And they're either going to disappear, you know, decompose and just disappear, but you're going to have bare spots. Now, when you do get bare spots, you're either going to want to plug it or expand your garden bed so that you put plants in there that you don't have to mow. But you're going to have to replace it with something, because any areas that are bare are going to be susceptible to getting weeds and weed seeds in them. And you don't want to do that. So you want to cover that area. No bare spots in your yard, because all you'll get is weeds. Mother Nature abhors a vacuum, and so you want to make sure that you are filling that area. You can also see that lawns may be turning yellow, and that's common after such a growth spurt over the year with the heat of our summertime and in fall. You can regreen it. You don't want to put a fertilizer down right now, but you can regreen it and give it some minor nutrient applications with iron. Iron, and then if you want to do minor nutrients, your micronutrients, and you can get those at mom-and-pop nurseries like the wonderful Quality Green Specialist. He has a lot of minerals that you can put down. Also, to ryegrass, if you want to continue to mow your lawn in the winter, and Lizzie, there's some people who want to do that.
Well,
they don't want to see their brown lawn. They just want to see it green all year. They can add the rye, and that will be fine, and it'll be growing through, I guess, about April, the end of April,
mm-hmm.
and then we start to get the hot temperatures, and the ryegrass will go away, but it'll add nutrients when it decomposes, so that's not a bad thing.
Right.
And so sometimes, you know, people still continue to like to mow. And it keeps them out of trouble.
Well, and it makes it look a little pretty, too. I mean, because, you know, I mean, a lot of people don't understand, if they've just moved down here, that we turn brown around October-ish.
Yeah.
And then we kind of, where if you're from up north, all you have is snow covered. So you don't get to see the ugly brown. But yeah, Florida, we are brown right now.
We are brown. And I will tell you that the foliage right now is spectacular. We see fall in January here in Florida. And I found the most beautiful shag bark hickory tree.
Oh, wow.
And it's totally yellow. It's in Winter Park. You can't miss it. But it has the bark that peels up. It looks like, the shakers siding on a house.
Yes.
Cedar boards. And so it curls up. And it's beautiful. The sycamores are yellow right now. And just, there is a lot of fall color. The crepe myrtles look amazing with their fall foliage. The orange is color.
My azaleas that I've had forever have never bloomed, and they're blooming right now.
See, isn't that incredible?
That's crazy.
I had someone ask me yesterday, they said their orchids are blooming. And you know why that happened? We had that 20-degree temperature drop in November, and it got really, really cold. We had that cold snap, and then it warmed back up again, and that signals the plant to start its blooming process. And so the azaleas thought it was springtime.
Yeah, my orchids, sycamore trees are just like ridiculous. They're like, yay, spring. Oh,
exactly. And so, you know, it's just it's a confusing time of the year for the plants. They don't know if they're coming or going. You know, please make up our mind. So this is a great time of the year. It's why we have Florida Arbor Day in January to plant trees and shrubs and vines to the landscape. So, again, Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand has some wonderful native and flowering trees that you can put into your yard. Make sure you get one for Arbor Day and plant a tree on Arbor Day. It's a good time of the year. So, crepe myrtles, people are committing crepe murder, and I have Felder Rushing coming on in a few weeks, and he is so chill about crepe myrtles, and I've got to ask him what his philosophy is. But you don't need to hack them straight across and commit crepe murder. Now, you can cut them back if they're going in a wrong direction. Everything that's smaller than your pinky, you can cut off. You cut it back to where you leave a little collar on the crepe myrtle, diagonal collar on it. Everything that's smaller than your pinky, and then also cut the suckers off at the bottom. You can do that all year round.
Yeah.
But if you hack it straight across, you're going to get more suckering because the shrub and crepe myrtles are all shrubs. They are not necessarily a tree. They're shrubby. And so you can, you'll get more if you abuse them. But Felder's got a really great philosophy on him, and I have to ask him. I want him to be my therapist.
There you go. And that's funny because I thought of you. I saw some crepe myrtles where they hadn't been hacked back yet, but they had their little like witch fingers is what I call it, because that's what it looks like coming up out of the sprouts from where they chopped them off.
It just looks ugly.
Yeah, it does.
I got to chill. Give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We'd love to have your gardening call. I know you're just waking up, and the next hour is going to be over so quickly, and you're going to say, oh, I had a question. And, you know, now's the time to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am great.
Okay. The catalog that you like so much, the Plant Delights.
Yes.
I went on their website, and I purchased, and I'm going to have to spell it, LAVANDULASTOE. CHF. Finish it for me, Teresa.
I don't know.
ANOUK.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the lavender that smells.
Oh, uh-huh.
Is that right?
Lavendula is lavender. So I don't know what variety you got, but yes, it sounds like the lavender that smells wonderful.
That's I talked to the girl at Plant Delights, and she said if you want lavender that smells, because I was picking the wrong one, she said this is the one that you want.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. When you get it, it's going to be lovely. Now, where are you going to plant it?
right in my front flower bed.
Wonderful.
By my porch.
Wonderful. Full sun. It doesn't need a lot of water.
Okay. Now, I have another one. It's LinumLewisii.
Okay.
Now, that one I looked up.
Okay.
And it's drought preferred. I'm going to have to cancel that one and get something else.
Okay.
Won't I?
No, why? I think it might be fine. What kind of sunlight does it take?
Full sun.
Full sun. I would try it. So, you know, Tony Avent, who owns Plant Delights Nursery, and he's been on the show. He's a wonderful, wonderful plant hunter, and he knows his stuff. He always says he always tries what he wants to grow, and he tries it, and if he doesn't grow, it dies like three times, then he knows it won't live. But he always tries it. So I would try it as long as it's zoned for 9B.
It is.
And then go ahead and you've got the right, you know, sunlight conditions, the right soil conditions. I would try it. Send me a picture.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. And is there anything else you can think of that I can get from them?
Oh,
because
there's lots.
She said I have until February 14th to add more plants and the shipping cost won't go up.
That's wonderful. Okay, so that's Valentine's Day. Let me send you some ideas, okay?
Okay.
I will do that. I'll send you some things that will go well with your house there in Polk City, in your land.
Great.
All right. That sounds wonderful. You're going to enjoy. I love it. Do you know, I got two gift certificates from Plant Delights Nursery for Christmas, and do they know their Grammy or what? I am too excited, so I've got to take advantage of that. PlantDelightsNursery.com. Let's go to Mike in Venice. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good, Teresa. So, as you know, in Southwest Florida, the lack of rain and everything.
You've set a record this year for not getting rain, yes.
Yeah, we're getting some, so thank God we're happy. My problem is, and I'm hoping you agree with me, if you have an irrigation system in a large development, and you've got green grass, and everything is looking good. But the problem is that the rain sensor does not work when it should.
Mm-hmm.
So we've approached our landscape contractor, and the response is, well, you know, none of these rain sensors really work. And I'm thinking, we do have a system that is set up, so it's just not functioning properly. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, and that's a lazy, lazy philosophy. And it's something, okay, so if his TV set didn't work, what would he do? Just not use it? You know, it's the same thing. Technology needs to be updated and maintained. And sometimes you need to replace parts on a rain sensor or get just a new one. They're about $40. Yeah. And, you know, if they last just 7 years, you got your money's worth, right?
I know. We've done a little research, and fortunately, our property manager over the development, she understands, and she's going to stay on his case. But, I mean, we have four Hunter wireless rain clicks, and they transmit to a controller that's in a pump house. And I think it's just a matter of running a system check and getting it to work. And so I'm glad you can say that. If you get the right system, then you can troubleshoot anything, really, if you know what you're doing.
Actually, Mike, your irrigation system should be checked every 3 months. But it should be something that they should check every month, because sometimes they get zapped by lightning or, you know, something goes wrong, a little rodent goes through and nibbles on something. And so you want to make sure that it is part of the upkeep maintenance program of your community, and check it at least every 3 months, if not monthly.
And the problem that occurs because it doesn't work properly is that, it'll run one night, we'll get an inch of rain the next day, and it may run again.
And that could be another thing, too, is that it's up there, but is it even hooked up or is it working? And so, again, that's where you need to test it. And what you can do is that you can shoot water up there with like a water hose, and it should be, you can turn the system on, and when it gets to the setting, then it shuts it down. So there's ways to test it, but also too, if it's not working, then you need to know that. And it's just,
well,
that kind of attitude, you know, with contractors.
I'm on the case. I'm like Columbo. I'm on the case.
I appreciate that so much. There's just a lot of people who say, you know, well, irrigation, you know, technology doesn't work. Well, no, it doesn't if you don't maintain it. And it's just a piece of equipment, just like everything else, needs to be maintained properly. And it should be part of the contract for any contractor who's working with an HOA or a community, that the irrigation system is checked manually, on a consistent basis.
Yes, agreed. Well, thanks, Teresa. Nice talking with you.
Nice talking with you, Mike. I appreciate it. I'm so glad you're on it. So carry on. And that's great. Let's go to Jim in Ocoee. Good morning, Jim. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I have about a 5 foot tall giant milkweed outside in a pot, and I want to propagate it. I was going to use air layering to do that. So my question is, one, is air layering the best way to propagate that? And two, is this too early to go ahead and do that?
I think it's a little too early to do that right now, just because it's January. I would probably wait till mid-February to do it.
Okay.
But I don't know if the air layering is the best way to do it. Let me do, during the break here, I'll do some research on it. And, Jim, I'll let you know, okay? I'll talk about it in the next hour.
Okay,
and,
well, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah, that's really interesting because I love the giant milkweed. It's such a beautiful plant, nice and big. It's got beautiful flowers, and it does attract pollinators. So,
The butterflies, just, I love it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's great. I'll let you know. How's that sound?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. I love people trying to propagate more flowers.
Yes.
And it's something that you can do very easily with tropicals. I'm not so sure about milkweed, and especially the tropical milkweed, which is what he's talking about. This one is a really tall one. It's got nice silvery leaves and just a nice soft foliage. It's really, really cool, but pretty leaves. And we thank Jim for listening and calling in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. If you didn't get to your gardening questions, you can call us the next hour. We have a really a great interview coming up with Kathy Gents. And if you want to know how to propagate more flowers, then the next hour you're going to need to talk, because we are going to be talking about seeds.
Yeah, give us a call around 8:30. That's a perfect time to give us a call.
That
this
will
next
be great.
Hour.
And we've got some great text messages I'm going to be catching up with, and talking about gardening. I love it. And so we want to say thank you to Tina Tuttle. She is the president of the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs. And congratulations to all the garden clubs throughout the state of Florida for their 100th anniversary. Wonderful service organization. And we appreciate her coming on and letting us know about their Arbor Day events and the Orlando Garden Club Flower Show, which is happening next weekend. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
During our break, go to WFLAOrlando.com and check out what we're giving away. We're giving away some really cool tickets of some events coming up. WFLAOrlando.com.